Welcome Josh Vaughn, would you?
Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be here. I have to say, this message that I'm about to give, it may not be for you. And that might sound weird, but God was speaking to me. And so I hope that as I go through this, it's a blessing. But just know, this is a little glimpse of what God is saying to me. And so I hope it's a blessing. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at a powerful psalm. It's a psalm you may not have looked at before, but Psalm 62. And before we get into it, I want to start by asking you guys some questions. How many of you feel weight of responsibility in your life? Yeah? Go ahead and let me know if any of this hits home. Are you carrying weight in your family? What about work? Is there any pressure there? Who in here has responsibility to provide financially for someone other than themselves? How does that make you feel? Who here has responsibility in church? Yeah. Here's another one. This is the last one. Who feels the weight of the need to engage our culture? Yeah. If we're honest, most of us feel the weight almost every day. We may not feel all of those at the same time, but there's no doubt in my mind that we all feel pressure to provide, to protect, to lead, to serve. It can feel like we're holding the whole world on our backs. And some days, it's exhausting. And when we feel that weight, when it just gets so heavy, the temptation is to lean on ourselves, to tell ourselves, just work harder. I just need to figure this out. Yeah. But the thing is, we can't look to ourselves. And sometimes we don't, right? Sometimes you actually look to a friend. And you say, well, I can't figure this out, but this person can. I can go to them. Or I can turn to my resources. I can turn to the money or something that's going to help me. Now, some of those things, they may include a paycheck, a retirement account, a savings plan. And I want to say, all of those things, friends, knowledge, abilities, they're all not bad things in themselves, but let's be real. They all have limits. They can't ultimately hold us. Proverbs 3:5 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And if we're honest, too often we lean on ourselves. That's why Psalm 62 speaks with such power. David was under enormous pressure. Enemies surrounding him, life pressing in from every side. But in the middle of the storm, he doesn't look to himself. He doesn't look to people. He doesn't look to possessions. He says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. This psalm shows us where real stability lies. Not in us. Not in others. Not in stuff. But in God alone. This psalm was written by David, and many believe it was when his son Absalom rebelled against him. You can read that story in 2 Samuel chapters 15. 18. But imagine the pain that David felt as he wrote this psalm. He felt betrayed by his own son, abandoned by friends, and hunted by enemies. His world was crumbling, and his throne was under attack. And yet, in that moment of deep pressure, David doesn't turn inward. He doesn't lean on politics, money, or armies. He looks upward and declares, God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Before we go any further, I want to read the whole psalm for you. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, my soul, oh my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balance, they all go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. So before we dig in, let's pray. Father, we admit how often we put our trust in ourselves, in people, or in things that don't last. As we open your word, show us where we've misplaced our trust. Draw our hearts back to you. Teach us to rest in you alone, our rock, our refuge, and our fortress. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So David begins the psalm by saying, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. Then he repeats that same idea again in verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. Anytime Scripture repeats itself like this, it's God's way of saying, don't miss this. It's important. Why is David telling his soul to wait? Because our hearts naturally want to run in 100 directions. To people, to possessions, or to our own strength. But David knew that real peace doesn't come from controlling circumstances. It comes from trusting God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Notice how David describes God in these verses. His rock, his salvation, fortress, refuge. These are all pictures of strength and safety. A rock doesn't move. A fortress protects you when enemies attack. Salvation is the rescue only God can provide. David is under pressure, surrounded by enemies, betrayed by friends, even facing rebellion from his own son. Yet in the middle of his storm, he can say, "I shall not be shaken." Why? Because his stability isn't based on what's happening around him, but on who God is. That's the same truth Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. He said, "The wise man builds his house on the rock. And when the rains and floods come, the house stands firm because it is founded on something solid." Men, we live in a world that constantly pulls at us. Work deadlines, financial stress, family responsibilities, cultural pressure. The temptation to just push harder, to get busier, and rely on ourselves. But Psalm 62 calls us to stop, to rest, and to put our trust in God alone. And I want to be clear, that doesn't mean being lazy, irresponsible. It means learning to build small rhythms of resting in God throughout your day. And these are all things you might already be doing, but I want to encourage you. Start your morning with a small prayer. A short moment of silence before the noise of the day begins. Pause and say, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." Before you pick up your phone or go to your screen, open the scripture. Let God's word shape your mind before news, emails, or social media do. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And when pressure hits, instead of exploding in anger or retreating in worry, take a breath and whisper, "Lord, you are my rock, my refuge, and my fortress." Philippians 4:6 reminds us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Brothers, resting in God is not passive. It is active trust. It's training your soul, like David did, to run to God first and only. In verses 3 and 4, David describes the people around him. They bless him with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. On the outside, they look supportive, but in reality, they're plotting his downfall. That's why in verse 9, he says, "People are but a breath. High or low, strong or weak, it doesn't matter. Compared to God, people are fragile and temporary." Now, that doesn't mean that people don't matter or that we should never trust anyone at all. But it reminds us not to lean too heavily on people for ultimate security. Even the strongest person you know is limited. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." People will let you down, but God never will. Verses 9 and 10 move from people to possessions. David warns, "If riches increase, set not your hearts on them." Money in itself isn't evil, but trusting in money is dangerous. Proverbs 11:28 puts it plainly. Whoever trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Wealth feels like security. A savings account, a good job, an inheritance. But we all know it can disappear so quickly. Jesus reminded us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, not to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. True security is not in a bank account, but in a God who never changes. Think about Jesus' parable again in Matthew 7. He said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And at first, it probably looked great, maybe even impressive, right? But when the storm came, the foundation gave way and the whole house fell. That's what it's like when we build our lives on money, status, or human approval. But the wise man built on the rock. That house stood firm no matter the storm. David is telling us, don't build your foundation on sandbanks like people or possessions. Build it on the solid rock of God's character. Men, this psalm challenges us to be honest with ourselves. I would encourage you, take the time to reevaluate. Where do you really run for security? When pressure hits, is your first thought about who you can call or what resources you have? Or do you turn to God? Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I would also challenge you to guard against idols. Things like approval of others, power, and finances are three of the most common false gods men run to. They promise strength, but ultimately they enslave. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I want to challenge you to take another step. While I appreciate the nods this morning, I don't want it to end there. I want to encourage you to do something to loosen the grip of false security. For each of us, I think it's probably different. Maybe for you, that means generosity. Instead of clinging to your wealth, you become generous and start giving instead of hoarding. Maybe it's confession. Being honest about ways you've chased approval instead of God. Maybe it's choosing integrity. Turning down a shady deal, even if it costs you. Brothers, trusting God instead of people or possessions isn't just an idea. It's a choice that we make daily. And it's a choice that sets us free. Up until this point in the psalm, David has been talking to himself. For God alone, my soul waits, right? That's how it begins. But now in verse 8, he turns outward. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. This is the pivot point in the psalm, the hinge. David isn't just keeping this trust private.
He's calling others to join him. True faith is personal, but it's never meant to stay private. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In verses 11 and 12, David reminds us who God is. Twice he says, "Power belongs to God, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love." That's so cool because it's a perfect balance. If God were only powerful, we would fear him and we would never draw near to him. But the other side of that, if he were only loving but not powerful, he couldn't help us. But he's both strong and loving, and that's why we can trust him. David also says, "God will render to a man according to his work." This doesn't mean we earn salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. But it does mean that God is just. He sees what we do. He weighs our hearts. And he will reward faithfulness. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." I was trying to think of an example of this trusting in God. And have you ever seen someone stuck on the side of a cliff or heard about it? And the rescuers, they come to them. They put on a harness, they hook them up to the rope, but at some point, that person has to let go of the rock and lean into the equipment and the strength of the person rescuing them. If they don't let go of the rock, they will not be rescued. And you can keep clinging to the rock in fear, or you can trust in the rope and the rescuer's strength. That's a picture of faith. Leaning back into God feels risky at times, but it's actually the safest thing you can do. We started with Proverbs 3:5, but I want to say 3:5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." What does this mean for us? If God is strong and loving, and if he calls us to trust him openly, then here's how we live it out. Live courageously with integrity at home, at work, and in the community. Don't just say you trust God. Let others see it in the way you speak truth. You keep your word. And refuse to cut corners. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks in security." Another way, mentor and model trust for younger men. They need to see examples of faith that holds steady when life is hard. Paul told Timothy, "Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Also, be a refuge for others because you rest in the true refuge. When you've learned to lean on God, you can encourage others to do the same. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then finally, leave a legacy. Men often ask, "What will I be remembered for? What will I leave behind? Is it money? achievements, success, possessions. None of that lasts. They all fade. Your real legacy is pointing others to the God who is your rock and your refuge. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, but to tell the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Brothers, your greatest gift to the next generation isn't wealth or success. It's showing them by your life where true security is found, in God alone. Men, let me leave you with this question. When the storm hits, where do you run? Do you run to your own strength, your own wisdom, your own resources? Or do you run to the God who cannot be shaken? David had enemies pressing in on every side, but he knew that no fortress built by human hands could compare to the fortress that God himself is. And as Jesus said in Matthew 7, that the wise man builds his house on the rock. The storms will come, not if, but when. And only those who are resting on the solid rock will stand firm. And this week, I want to challenge you to memorize Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. I actually have cards that I'll hand out if you're interested, just with those two verses on it. I'm going to read it slowly again. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." But here's the other key, and I am finishing, so don't worry. We don't just rest in some vague idea of God. We rest in the living God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came to us, born of a virgin, fully God, fully man. He lived the perfect life that none of us could live. Then at the cross, he bore the punishment we deserve for our sin. He died in our place, but death couldn't hold him. He rose from the grave 3 days later, conquering sin and death forever. And one day, soon, he's coming back. Men, that's the rock you can rest on. That's the fortress that cannot fail. If you try to carry the weight of life on your own shoulders, there is no doubt that you will break. But if you trust in Jesus, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, you will not be shaken. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we often run to false shelters. We put our trust in money, in success, in control, or even our own strength. But today, by your Spirit, redirect our hearts to you alone. Help us to rest in the finished work of Jesus, our rock, our refuge, and our reward. Teach us to be men who are steady in storms because our feet are planted on Christ, the solid rock. And we thank you for the hope that we have, not only in this life, but in the life to come, because Jesus is alive and he's returning. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.